Well, Angie fell prey to the sickness this morning and is home in bed this evening. And I know how she feels. So I appreciate your prayers for her as well. Just thought I might share with you before. Oh, I did. So I was telling Carrie and Gibby that so I lost 15 pounds this week with this illness. Angie said to me after I told her that, she said, well, that's a good start. And always words of encouragement are always nice. Jonathan said to me, maybe you ought to go down to Peru more often. I don't know if that was it or not. But anyway, it's always good, you know, with words of encouragement like that, we don't need discouragement, do we? Anyway, I thought I might share with you just for a moment or two about the trip down to Peru, and we're going to be in 1 John chapter 1 if you want to turn there. Well, I just want to share a few things with you. It was a profitable time, I believe. It was a lot of work. Get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I had 4 hours of classes in the morning, four different subjects that I taught in the Bible school there. Then the trip back, about an hour trip back to the house. Spent some time there with some of the Christians doing some counseling and different things. A lot of family problems, a lot of problems with the children. And it's really just caused by not applying principles, God's principles to their family and not spending time in the Word individually, not spending time in the Word as a family. And I just challenge them about that. And of course my family isn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but my children love the Lord and they're going on for the Lord, and they're amazed at that because none of theirs are, and they don't understand, you know, that it's a lot of effort went into that, and a lot of effort when they were small, bringing them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and correcting them, disciplining them. It was a lot of work, and yet the fruit of that. And so it helps in that sense to have a testimony before them. And so some of them listen, and I appreciate that. But just pray for that situation down there. Joel Clark is a dear brother in the Lord, but he's single, doesn't have a wife and children, and so he doesn't have that insight. He doesn't have that ability is to be an example in those things, and it's been difficult for the saints down there. This is a little assembly that we saw started when we were there 20 years ago, and they're going on for the Lord. And I appreciate what the Lord's done using Gil and others in that. I meant Joel and others. I saw Carolyn walk by. I thought about Gil there a moment. Joel and others to do that, and we really appreciate that. But they really need. It's a difficult situation. Like so many, you know, family members have gone off for a year or 2 years at a time. Husbands leaving their families behind, and young people getting into all kinds of wickedness and sin, turning away from the Lord. And so they really need prayer. They really need our encouragement. So it was good. It was good to be with them again. The food down there is fantastic, but I call it fast food because you just go through your system really fast. And but it was delicious. Ceviche, that's raw fish with lemon. That's fantastic. Cow's heart's called anticucho. That's, fried cow's heart. You don't know. Y'all don't know what this is. Great stuff. You know, y'all think that's kind of weird, you know. But the one thing I didn't get to eat when I was down there that I wanted to eat was a cuy. That's guinea pig. They eat guinea pigs down there. And I didn't. They had them at a restaurant that I went to one time, but I didn't get it that because I got anticuchos instead. But anyway, it was good to be there. And spoke every evening at least once, sometimes two and three times. Usually got to bed about 1 o'clock in the morning and didn't get a lot of sleep, but I talked a lot and ate a lot. So I guess, you know, that was good. And they want me to come back next year for a family conference, family camp, sometime in the January, February time frame. So I just pray about that as well for me. But again, appreciate y'all's prayers while we're gone for the safety and for the the time down there and for the for my family while I was gone away from them. It was the Lord heard our prayers and answered them. So thank you so much for that. Here we are in 1 John chapter 1, and we started this last time we were together on a Sunday evening, and we're just going to read the entire chapter, just 9 verses. We left off in verse 3, and we'll continue on from that point this evening. John says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Let's just pray again. Our Father and our God in heaven, thank you again so much this evening for the blessedness that we receive living in this country, the freedoms that we enjoy to gather in this particular way, openly, to proclaim your word, to practice those things we see in it without any fear of some kind of persecution, some kind of incarceration or even death that so many of our brethren around the world live in constant fear of every day of their lives. Thank you, O Father, for this place that we have, a comfortable place to come and gather together in. Thank you for the fellowship that we have one with another, all because of your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray, O Father, that you would be glorified through our gathering together this evening, that you would speak to us by your Spirit, each one of us, that you would minister to our needs, no matter where we are, because your word is living and is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit, and to show us even our own thoughts and intents of our own hearts. And so, Father, we pray that your word would not return unto you void, but as it goes forth this evening, that it would accomplish the purpose you have in each one of our lives. And again, O Father, you would be pleased and glorified, and that your Son would be exalted by our gathering tonight. We pray these things and give you thanks. In the name of and in the power of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we saw when John speaks here in the beginning, and we went back to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, how he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew him personally. And he walked with him, and he heard his ministry, and he saw his miracles, and he saw him again as he rose from the dead, and he saw him there as he was crucified, and he spent time alone with him. He laid his head upon his breast there at that last supper. He knew him well. He knew him intimately. And so he's saying, these aren't just rumors. These aren't just things that we've heard. These aren't just old wives' tales that we're talking about. These are things that we know to be true. This is a first-hand eyewitness account. It's not just some fairy tale, you know, Hansel and Gretel, or, you know, some little cute little fairy tale about something that even maybe have a lesson to it. No, this is the absolute truth. Huh. I mean, if you heard an eyewitness account of something, how could you say it was false? You weren't there. You don't know. And not only would John give the same testimony, but many others would give the same testimony. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, for example, over 500 individuals saw personally the Lord Jesus Christ after he rose again from among the dead. I know it's true because God says it's true. Absolutely. But also, that truth is confirmed by the eyewitness accounts. And so John says, the things that we tell you, the things that we share with you, are things that we know for sure. There's absolutely no doubt in our minds. And I don't know about you, but I'm not willing or able to call John a liar. Because he knows. He was there. It's like, like about creation. I wasn't there when God created the world. He was there. I wasn't. And if he gives an account of it, well, he's God. He can't lie anyway. But beyond that, he was there. I wasn't. I have to believe it. Because if I don't, then I make myself more than him. And if I don't believe John, then I'm saying I know more than John does, and I'm greater than John. That's what it really comes down to, doesn't it? It's arrogance and pride on my part. But he says the life was manifested. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. He's the life. He says, I am. He didn't say, I just give life. He does do that, doesn't he? But he told Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am life. And later on, John's going to tell us, he that has the Son has life, and he that doesn't have the Son doesn't have life. Doesn't have it. That's it. It's black and white. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to perdition, eternal damnation. It's one way or the other. Now, you can go from death to life, absolutely. Praise God for that. Can't go from life to death, but you can certainly go from death to life. But you're either one or the other right now. If time ended right now, there wouldn't be anybody sitting in the middle. There's no gray. It's black and white. Black and white. He said, we've seen it. We bear witness. We show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father. Is there any doubt who he's talking about, the Lord Jesus? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he tells us that Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he tells us the life was with the Father. It's not just some thing out there, some mystical, intangible thing he's talking about. He's talking about a person. He's talking about a living, breathing entity. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that life is eternal life, and it was manifested unto us. What did he say in John? We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. How many multitudes of people saw the Lord Jesus? But we read about this morning, so many of them were blinded, right? They couldn't see. But those who had their hearts open and their minds open to the truth, God revealed the truth to them. And they believed and accepted. Isn't that what happened today? And so those of us here that know the Lord Jesus, is because our hearts and our minds were receptive and open to it. We believe. We stepped out on faith and we said, I believe. I've never seen him. Never touched him. Never talked to him face to face. And yet there is no doubt in my heart and mind that Jesus Christ exists. And that Jesus Christ is God. And that Jesus Christ lived in this world for 33 years and never sinned once. And that he died on the cross and that he rose again and ascended up into heaven. And that he's coming again. There's no doubt in my mind. Right? That's the truth. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you, brethren, I mean, look around this room. I mean, here we've got an Indian family. We've got a family from Mexico. We've got families from the North. We've got families from the Midwest. We've got people from the South. We've got people that have gone to college and have a degree. Some have a master's degree. We've got other people that didn't finish high school. We've got people here that are comfortable and financially speaking, and other people that are struggling, wonder whether they're going to get money to pay their bills this month. We got people here that are of all kinds of different backgrounds. We don't have anything in common except this: the Lord Jesus Christ, right? I mean, what friendships would we have with each other if it weren't for Him? What fellowship would we have if it wasn't for Him? We wouldn't have any. We wouldn't have any. And yet all of us from all different backgrounds and all different cultures and all different experiences and all different walks of life can gather together in this place in oneness of heart and mind, and we can be loving to each other, friends with each other, all because of the Lord Jesus. And I like to illustrate it this way, because there's this false unity. I mean, people want to force me to have fellowship or have unity with people that have nothing to do with the Lord Jesus. Back in 2000, there was a document signed by evangelicals and Catholics together in the new millennium, in the third millennium, trying to force unity. And what I like to illustrate it this way, you got a bicycle wheel, you know, and you got these spokes in the bicycle wheel. Okay, they start out here on the outside edge. They're all different distances from each other. I mean, you got one way over here and another one way over here. But what happens? They come in and they meet in the center, don't they? There's where there's unity among those spokes, right? And that center, that focal point, represents Christ. And so here's this individual way over here with all different experiences and all different backgrounds, and he comes together with someone over here, polar opposites. But they come together in Christ. They come together in Christ. And in the Middle East right now, there are people that used to be Muslims and people that used to be Jews, and they gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh. Right? I mean, it's not much polar opposite than that, brethren. And yet, there they are. But here's what the world tries to do. It tries to take that spoke and this spoke over here, and it tries to make unity on some other level or some other reason. Well, let's just get together. Let's not talk about our differences. Let's not talk about what we don't have in common. Let's try to find some other common ground. We don't have Christ in common, for example, so let's look for something else. Well, we agree on we don't want abortion. Okay, let's agree on that and let's find unity in that. We both want a Republican president, so let's find unity in that. We both want this moral or social issue. Let's find unity in that. And what happens? What happens when you take a spoke from over here and a spoke from over here out here in the middle and you try to get them together and you bend those spokes? What happens to the wheel when it goes down the road? There you go. And that's what we got today. That's what we got today in the world. What we ought to be is looking for Christ. Let Him be our center. And so, the closer you draw to Christ, and the closer I draw to Christ, what's the natural outcome? We draw closer to each other, right? And so when you're in agreement with Him, and I'm in agreement with Him, we're in agreement with each other. And we don't have to look for unity outside of that. That's what it is. Our fellowship is with Christ. Our fellowship is with the Father. We don't have to look for fellowship with each other. In fact, the Word of God never tells us to do that. It says guard the unity that already exists. It doesn't say look for it. It says guard it. Garrison it about, protect it, be zealous for it. But what's the unity that exists? In the Spirit, it says. The unity in the Spirit. And here's what the Word of God says. How can two walk together unless they be in agreement? Right? Now I've got some dear brothers in the Lord, right? That I love them. And there's some that are I'm closer to than others. I think of Mike Atwood. Mike and I agree on a lot of stuff. There's a few things we don't agree on. And when we talk about those things, we realize and we discuss them and we don't agree on them. I still love him in the Lord. But I'm not going to compromise what I believe the truth of God's Word is just to have more fellowship with him or anybody else. You see? And he's not going to either. And I appreciate that. I respect that in him. Okay, that's fine. You know, he'll get straightened out when he gets to heaven. But you know what I'm saying. You know what I mean. I mean, there's things that I realize there's probably things that I'm wrong on. I'm not perfect. Anybody's perfect. But we don't have to compromise the truths of God's Word. What we need to be in agreement with the Spirit of God, with the truth of God's Word, and not seek to just have forced fellowship and forced unity. And especially with the world. Right? I mean, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Fellowship, again, we've got to realize the word fellowship is the same word as communion. And communion comes from this concept of having things in common. What do light and darkness have in common? Nothing. Nothing. Where there's light, there's no darkness. And where there's darkness, there's no light. Hell is the absolute absence of light. There will be no light. There's going to be fire, absolutely. But there's not going to be any light in hell. The people that go to hell will not see the hand in front of their face. But in heaven, there'll be no darkness at all. In fact, to the point, there'll not be any shadows, will they? There'll be no need of the sun or the moon, it says, because God Himself will be the light, and He will be everywhere, all around us. There will be absolute, constant, eternal light. In fact, it says with the Lord, there's no shadow or variance at all. It's constant. It's not even like the light we have in the daytime that kind of is brighter at certain times and dimmer at other times. It's constant, strong light forever. And so what fellowship do I have with the world? You know, the Lord Jesus, He was a friend of sinners, but He never had fellowship with sinners. Never. Never had fellowship with them. Never entered into their deeds. Never had that relationship with them that He has with us. Because they had nothing in common. Nothing in common. What fellowship have light with darkness? It says later on, in fact, that if we have fellowship and friendship with this world, I mean, again, these are pretty strong words, brethren. This is what it says. We'll get later in this and later on in chapter 2. It says, if we have fellowship and friendship with this world, we make ourselves an enemy of God. Wow, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Again, God's not a God of gray. You're either an enemy of God or you're a friend of God. Right? You're either an enemy of God or you're a friend of God. And there's some that have made themselves an enemy of the cross and an enemy of God. Overtly, not just covertly, but overtly. What fellowship do we have with that? I don't. I can't. I can't have fellowship with that. At all. These things we write unto you that joy may be full. When I was down in Peru, there was a dear brother there. His name is Dan Perez. Godly worker there in Peru. A man who lives in just... I stayed with him one night when I was there before. Just absolutely poor, poor condition. Lives in a house. The walls are just plain brick. One little light hanging down in the room. No outlets in the rooms. The floor is just rough concrete. It's just horrible conditions. But this brother and his family, they love the Lord Jesus. And this dear brother got up one night and started to share from God's Word. He was sharing from John chapter 2 there about the well, the wedding of Canaan. And he said something that I had never thought of before. You know, those pots that they put the water in were stone pots. I'd always thought of them as like clay pots, but it says they're stone pots. What they are is they were stone where they hollowed them out and made them with a hole in the middle, and they filled them with water. I'd never thought of that before. And the point he brought out was a beautiful point. He said, here was a stone that God had made, and what man had done, he had hollowed it out. And it was this pot that had a big empty hole in the middle of it. And you know, that's what all of us are, isn't it? God made us, and we emptied ourselves out. We made this big hole in us when man sinned. And we try to fill it with all kinds of stuff. But what did the Lord Jesus say fill it with? He said fill it with water up to the brim. And what does water typify in the Word of God? It typifies the Word of God as applied by the Spirit of God, that cleansing Word of God, that Word of God that refreshes us, doesn't it? But then he said, you know what happened before that water as they took it out of that stone pot and they took it up to the master of the feast? It was turned into wine. And in Psalm 104 it says that bread strengthens and wine cheers. And the point he brought out, beautiful point, he says, you know, if we'll fill our hearts and our minds with the Word of God, you know what will come out? Joy. Joy. Right? God will take that water and turn it into wine in our hearts and minds. What a beautiful picture. I never thought about that. I don't know if any of y'all ever have, but I'll tell you what. I sat there and just thought, here's a man. And you know, I asked him about it later. I said, where'd you get that? He said, I don't know. He said, I didn't even think about it till I got up there and started preaching. I know where he got it from, don't you? The Spirit of God gave that to him. A simple, humble man. What a blessing, right? And so he says, your joy is going to be full. You know, that's where we find joy, is in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and in fellowship with His people. That's where we find joy. We don't find joy in this world. We don't find happiness in this world. We don't find satisfaction in the things of this world. It's in Christ and in serving Him and in glorifying Him and in fellowship with His people. That's where we find joy. And let me tell you, if we don't find joy in those things, there's something wrong with us. Right? There's something wrong with us. If we don't enjoy gathering together with the Lord's people and fellowshipping with them and discussing the things of the Lord with each other, there's something wrong with us. That your joy might be full. You know, he gives us six reasons this letter was written. First, he says here that we might have fellowship one with the other in verse 3 of chapter 1. He wrote these things that our joy, our happiness, not just happiness, but our joy might be full, might be complete, might be brought to maturity, might be running over us. Like David said, his cup is running over. In chapter 2 and verse 1, he says he wrote these things that we sin not. In chapter 2 and verse 21, he wrote these things that we might know the truth. We said this morning we might know the truth because the truth will set us free. Not free to go out and do what we want to, brethren, but free to do what we were created for, what we exist for, the glory and praise of God. Then in chapter 2 and verse 26, because of the false teachers trying to seduce him, and we talked a little bit about that this morning, we're going to get more into that in this book, the false teachers. And let me tell you what, they've multiplied in these last days. There's Antichrist in these last days. The Antichrist was the spirit of Antichrist, the one that denies that Jesus is God. That's an Antichrist. The one who denies the power of this book and the truth of this book, that's an Antichrist. That's an enemy of the cross. Right? We'll talk about that more later. And then finally, in chapter 5 and verse 13, he wrote these things that you might know that you have eternal life. And we're going to see over the course of this book, we're going to see evidences and proofs that we can examine our own hearts and lives and know for sure that I have eternal life. Know for sure that I've really been born again. Because again, I think there's many that have heard a gospel, have heard a false gospel. You know, I heard one person from this meeting that says, anybody says they love the Lord Jesus is saved. My, oh my, oh my. Well, I got saved when I was 4 years old. How ridiculous. There's going to be a lot of people who say they love the Lord Jesus. They're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Right? Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that and the other great work in your name? And you're going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. It's more than that, isn't it? It's a broken and a contrite heart. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's understanding that I'm a wicked, wretched, hell-deserving sinner. And the only one and only way I can be saved is through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. In a nutshell. I love Jesus. Oh my, oh my, oh my. That's the gospel we're hearing though, isn't it? That's what we're hearing out there. Feel good. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be happy. He wants us to be happy. The Lord doesn't want us to be sad and miserable. No, He doesn't. But He realizes we are going to be sad and miserable in this world, and we should be. We aren't home yet. Right? We shouldn't be happy down here in that sense. We shouldn't be satisfied down here. in that sense. So there are going to be evidences and proof that we have eternal life as we look through this book. Verse 5, this then is the message we have heard of Him, declaring to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Like I said, there's no darkness. You can't be in darkness and say you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You can't be practicing sin and wickedness and say you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You can't love your sin and love Him. You can't do it. That's what He says, right? And you go back to John chapter 3, and it talks about this light. And it says, all that love the light come to the light. Why? Because they want their deeds to be made manifest. They want people to see what they've done. And brother, you know, it's just like I was talking about down in Peru about my family. And I say it's by the grace of God. It's not by me. It's not because of me. But it's because of the truth of God's Word that we applied as parents in our children's lives. But the boasting isn't mine. I boast in the Lord. He's the one that did it, right? And we should be boasting and proud in Him, in what He's done. Right? We should be proud of what the Lord has done in us and through us. Because it's Him and not us. It's Him and not us. But if you love sin and your deeds are evil, you don't come to the light because you don't want people to see it. You want to hide it. Right? It's like, you know, a young child that comes home with his paper to his mother and father and says, look, got a big smiley face on it, 100% on my spelling paper today. Look at that. Boy, he's proud of that. He brings it home. He wants that on the refrigerator. But just let him get an F on that paper next week and see how he runs home with it. Right? We all have that, haven't we? We've seen it. Boy, what did you get on your spelling this week? What did you say? Let me see it. You know, they want to hide it, right? Because they know it's wrong. And deep down inside, even the world knows. Even the one who denies God and everything about God knows deep down in their heart that they're sin. Why? Because when man took a bite of that fruit in the garden, he received something he didn't have before, the knowledge of right and wrong, the knowledge of good and evil. And that nature Adam passed on to all of us. And every one of us knows deep down inside what's right and what's wrong. We deny it. We try to hide it. We suppress it. We push it down. But deep down inside, we know what's right and what's wrong. There's no turning away from it. And when we do what's right, we want people to know about it. And when we do what's wrong, we want to hide it. We want to hide it. God is light. In Him is no darkness. It says in John chapter 1, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. Don't be surprised. I'm not surprised at all when people laugh at me and mock at me and call me a fool and all kinds of stuff for believing the Bible. It doesn't bother me one bit. It doesn't bother me at all. Because you know why? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says they can't begin to understand. The natural man cannot. He's incapable of comprehending the truth. It's foolishness to him. Good. That's fine. Foolishness to him. And he's going to think, I'm foolish for believing it. And that's what the world thinks. Let them think it. Let them think it. It's not going to change our minds, is it? Is it? I don't think it's going to change our minds. We stand for the truth of God's Word. And that's why the Ethiopian eunuch, I just love the Ethiopian eunuch. You know why? He was honest, wasn't he? He said, how can I understand unless somebody explains it to me? Right? He recognized, I can't, look, I'm reading this Isaiah 53, and it's just, it doesn't make any sense to me. I can't understand it. Good. Good. My sister Monica said that to me one time. She says, Mark, I tried to read the Bible, I just can't understand. I said, praise God. She said, what do you mean? I said, I am so glad you finally come into a realization that you can't understand it. Now let me explain it to you. You see? Because when they come to the end of themselves and they realize they can't understand it and they're open to us sharing and helping them to see and understand those things. And that's what we're here for, isn't it? To be light in the world. To live a life before them of the, like the Lord Jesus Christ, and to help illuminate their hearts and their minds to these things. To show them the truth. And then all of a sudden, click, the light bulb goes on in their head and in their heart. And wow, it all makes sense to them. I mean, you talked to Roberto and Elizabeth. Just a couple of years ago, they were like that. Didn't understand it. And then the light clicked on. And boy, wow, now we understand it. Not that we understand everything. I mean, we don't understand it. But you know, the basic of it, the truth of it begins to, becomes real to us. We've got the Spirit of God then when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And He illuminates us. And He shows us and begins to teach us and guide us into all truth as we're obedient to the Word. But the world can't understand it. And we shouldn't expect them to. I've said this before, and I want to say it again, brother. This whole concept of, you know, trying to force Christian morality on the world is not something we find in the Scriptures. It's not something we find in the Scriptures. We should be out preaching the gospel. And then people will not have forced morality. They'll desire to do what's right. But we spend so much effort and time and energy and resources into trying to force morality in this country because we have this misconception that we live in a Christian country. Let me tell you, brother, if you believed that in the past, I hope by now you've seen that's long gone if it ever was true. Okay? We live in an ungodly, wicked society. Right? And country. And we just got to accept that. And quit trying to force our morality on them. Just preach the Word. And let those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord will change their hearts. Didn't He change your heart? Didn't He change my heart? Absolutely He did. Just let Him do it. God is light and Him is no darkness at all. I just want to do just one more verse and we'll stop at verse 6 and just first part of verse 7. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do nothing. Do not the truth. You cannot walk in darkness. You cannot have fellowship with this world and fellowship with God both. He said that, right? The Lord Jesus said that. You can't serve mammon and God. You can't serve both of them. You got to serve one or the other. You got to serve one or the other. It's either you're in this world and serving the world and the lust of this world, or you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one or the other. And you got to take a stance. You got to take a stand. And you might suffer for it. But you got to take a stand. And it's the last days. We raised our hand. I don't think there were many of us here that didn't raise our hand this morning. We believe it's the last days. We better get ready. I'm going to say this, and you probably heard this. I didn't know. I was out of the country when all this thing happened down in Haiti. You know, we didn't get a lot of that news down there. Because I didn't have a television or anything, but the one thing I heard that was just amazing to me, you know, this hurricane comes through, wham, slams the island of Haiti. But you know, the other half of that island is the Dominican Republic. Nothing happened over there. And then boom, this powerful earthquake. And they said the reason this earthquake was so horrible was because the epicenter was so close to the surface. Usually it's way down. In fact, when I was in Peru, there was a couple of earthquakes while I was down there. You hardly even felt them, you know. Just kind of, tingled you a little bit. You know, it wasn't bad at all. But they said this earthquake was so horrible because it was just, there wasn't any kind. Usually an earthquake starts and it gets stronger and then it diminishes. That's what it usually does, right? But this was like, boom, all of a sudden. Nothing over the Dominican Republic. Let me tell you what, Haiti is one of the most wicked, ungodly countries in all the world. Voodooism, Satan worship, ungodliness, wickedness. They're just ungodly people. I mean, I've met some of these Haitian people that are over in Spanish Wells and over in the Bahamas, and they're just mean people, just nasty people. You know? They're just, their character is. But there's a lot of believers in the Dominican Republic. There's a lot of godly Christians in the Dominican Republic. And I think that God made a difference. Well, I don't think. I know He made a difference between Egypt and the land of Goshen. And brethren, it's time for us to wake up. When stuff like this happens, we better say, uh-oh, we're on the brink. Let's wake up from our sleep. Let's get ready for the coming of the Lord. Let's get our jackets on and get ready to go. Because He's going to snatch us up here in just one heartbeat, in just one eye blink. And so, brother, how are we going to live these last few moments? These last few possibly days or even weeks that we have here in this world? How are we going to live it? Walking in darkness, fellowship with darkness, fellowship with the ungodly of this world, with the enemies of the cross of Christ? Are we going to have fellowship one with another in the person of the Lord Jesus? Are we going to draw closer together, walk closer with the Lord, closer with one another in unity of the Spirit, in unity of the person of Christ? Or are we going to compromise our lives and compromise ourselves and sell ourselves over just to be popular with the world? And to be popular with those that hate the Lord Jesus. And they hate Him. Anyone who denies the truth of God's Word, anyone that denies the Lord Jesus Christ, is an antichrist. It's a hater, an enemy of the cross. If he's an enemy of Christ, he's an enemy of mine. Wasn't that what David said? Your enemies are my enemies. Right? And what does he say is going to happen to the enemies of Christ one day? He's going to make them his footstool. He's going to trample them under feet. I don't look forward to that for their sake. The Lord Jesus doesn't want to do that to anybody. But you know what? He will, because He is righteous and just altogether. And He's offered them that way of salvation, and they've rejected it. And they've rejected it. And so they will receive the just end of their reward. Brethren, let's be a light in this world, right? Let's live differently. Let the world look at us and say, wow, those people are different than other people. Those people walk differently, they talk differently, they behave differently. What do they have that I don't have? And we could tell them, here, what we have, what do we got? We got Christ, that's it. That's the only difference. That's the only difference between me and the ungodly out there. That's the only difference between me and what I was before, is Christ in me. He's the hope of glory, right? That's it. Apart from Him, I'd be just like Him. Just like Him, because I was just like Him or worse. Thanks be unto God. We walk in the light as He in the light. We have fellowship one with another. Let's walk in the light, dear brethren. Let's have fellowship with one another. Let's love each other not just for love's sake. Let's love each other because we love the Lord Jesus. Okay? Right? Because you can love each other just for love's sake. You can love each other just because, well, that's what you want to do and you feel like that's... No, let's love each other for the sake of the Lord Jesus. You know, I hear people all the time say, do it for so-and-so's sake, or do it for your mother's sake, or your daughter's sake, or for your own sake. No, let's do it for the Lord's sake. Right? Let's do it for Him. Let's do it because we love Him. Let's love each other because we love Him. Because He first loved us. That's the true love. That's the true unity of the Spirit. That's what we ought to be guarding. Not what the world wants us to do. Let's walk in fellowship with Christ and with the Father, and therefore with one another. Our Father and our God in heaven, thank You so much for the Lord Jesus, again for the great sacrifice that He made for sinners like us. We know it to be true, Father. There's no doubt in our minds. And the foolish of this world reject that. They hate You. They hate Your Word. Well, they wouldn't say that in so many words, maybe, but it's the truth. They're enemies of Yours and they oppose You. They seek to draw others down their wicked, dark path of ungodliness. No, Father, we have no fellowship with that. We shouldn't want to have fellowship with that. The Lord Jesus never did. And yet, Father, we fall into the trap sometimes. The trap that the world wants us to fall into. The trap that false teachers want us to fall into. And we seek a unity that isn't based upon the Word of God, that isn't based upon the person Lord Jesus, but is based upon some man-made goal or entity. No, Father, we confess that to You and ask that You would help us to see that, to open up our eyes to know what true unity is. to find unity in the Spirit of Christ with one another, loving one another, not because there's anything lovable in any one of us apart from Christ. To love the Lord Jesus Christ in each one of our brethren, to look for Him and to see Him in one another, and to seek that unity, to guard that unity that is found in the Spirit that exists because of Him. That we might walk in the light, that we might, our deeds might be pleasing to You and glorifying to You, that we might look and live our lives in anticipation of the soon coming of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. And that in all things He might be lifted up and glorified through our lives. We give You thanks for this, O Father, and we ask these things to the praise and glory of the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.